faith, spiritual values,
pull the curtain?
Moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us on this November 2nd, 2021, live at 101 Central Time on the Blowtorch stations of VCY America out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Frank Speech, Lindell TV, and that includes our Roku channel with 55 million households able to receive that broadcast. Well, today I want to continue in our series on the Jesuits. We took a little break yesterday, but we'll continue. I think this is part five today on understanding the Jesuits. And why are we doing this? Because if you want to understand the times and what's going on and how this is all happening, you must understand the Jesuits. And we were studying the warnings by Archbishop Vigano. And we know he warned about Pope Francis, the Marxist. He warned about the Freemasons, and he warned about the Jesuits, which was causing many people to say, oh, maybe it's time that you bring back that series you did several years ago on the Jesuits and explain to a lot of the new people about the Jesuits. And I think that's a great idea. So we're continuing in our series on that. Now, let's go to the slides if they can see this. I want to give you once again the five focuses, the five main focus areas of the Jesuits, or excuse me, eight. There's eight, yep, that I've come up with in my study. Maybe you'd come up with more, but I came up with eight. Number one, ecumenicalism. Number one, ecumenicalism. That's bringing all the world's religions together. We went into the Vatican Council II, how the walls of the Catholic Church were lowered by the Jesuits, who were behind the Vatican Council II that met from 62 to 65, with the goal and purpose of being to penetrate the religions of the world, to have the goals of the Jesuits accomplished, which includes, remember, the Georgetown University logo, an eagle with a cross in one talent and the world in another, and in Latin, of the two, one, a world dominion, a world domination of their religious system. But to do that, they must penetrate those other religions to turn them back to Rome, and particularly, I would say, to the New Rome, to turn them back to the New Rome. Why do I say the New Rome? Because the Jesuits largely have done away with the old Catholicism, which is why many on the conservative side of Roman Catholicism today are absolutely having a fit, like, and rightfully so, like Archbishop Vigano or the late Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit who resigned his position and moved to New York, started writing books and warning. He died in, I think, 1999, and he told us there was a Marxist Pope coming, and that Freemasonry and the Jesuits and Marxism and the globalists would all work together. Go read his books. We have showed the screenshots of those books. So ecumenicalism is one way they do this, the Jesuits, by penetrating the world's religions and turning them back to the New Rome and the Jesuit religious system. Now, that includes, again, the Jesuits' focus, number one, ecumenicalism. Number two, social justice and liberation theology. In the Catholic Church, it's known as liberation theology, Marxism mixed with Catholicism or liberation theology. In the Protestant world, it's also been called social justice, the social gospel. And don't forget, the father of the social justice term was a Jesuit priest named Luigi Tappernelli. Then we go to number three, dominion theology. Dominion theology, which means that, again, they want world dominion. I just described that. Part of this world dominion, of course, is the idea of convincing other religions there's nothing to fear from the Jesuits or what they're up to, that there's no threat from the Jesuit order or the Pope, their Pope, the new Pope, the Pope that former Jesuit Malachi Martin was warning about back, you know, long before Pope Francis came along. He was warning about this Pope Francis that was coming, right? Well, the Jesuits don't want you to worry about Rome. They don't want you to worry about the Vatican. They don't want you to worry about the Jesuits at all. So what did they do? We found in our last show, a Jesuit from Spain came up with the idea of preterism, that all the Bible prophecies were fulfilled in AD 70 when Rome sacked Jerusalem, and all the verses related to the church, or excuse me, to Israel, now being the church. In other words, the church has replaced Israel. This is replacement theology. It does breed anti-Semitism. So this is part of dominion theology, so it convinces people to let down their guard, and there's no reason why we can't come together, have a big kumbaya, and let religion coming together be the one of the main legs of the stool of globalism: big government, big business, and religion, which you keep seeing showing up in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18, particularly Revelation 18. You keep seeing the one world system in Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, with that three-legged stool: big government, big business, religion. Now, the reason they wanted the Jesuit from Spain, came up with the idea of preterism, was to put all of those things in the past so that people would quit saying, look out, the Pope is the Antichrist. Well, I don't believe the Pope will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist will not be the Pope, I should say. I do not believe that. But if you were one of the reformers back in the day with the counter-reformation of the Jesuits and what they were doing to you, you would probably feel that way. To deal with that criticism, the Jesuit from Spain put all the prophecies being fulfilled in AD 70, putting the all of these things that we talk about into the past, not the future. But of course, that was, again, to blunt the criticisms. Now, then that brings us to number four. Everybody now should be brought up to speed: politics, community organizing, and revolution. This is one of the four areas. We're going to cover that today. The fifth area is that they penetrate education. And of course, we've gotten phone calls from people telling us around the country about all the Jesuit educational centers around the country. We know them, like Georgetown and many others. And of course, we know that Fauci brags about his Jesuit education, how it impacts his thinking. Then we know they've penetrated the press. They penetrate the pulpit and denominations, part of that counter-reformation, and then mysticism, okay? So let's pick it up with number four: politics, community organizing, and revolution. This is very interesting. Pope Benedict, in 2009, he said, to manage the global economy, to bring about integral and timely disarmament, food security, and peace. Wait a minute. Isn't that interesting that in 2009, Pope Benedict was warning about the need for food security? What on earth would cause him to talk about food security? And what are we seeing today, folks? Even Americans are concerned about food security. The Rockefellers, who were behind Lockstep 2010, in that document that told us in 2010 that the coronavirus was coming and the lockdown, the mask, and all that, they wrote that in 2010. They ran a fake scenario in their report for 2012, two years in advance, and it reads just like 2020, 2021. That's the Rockefellers, along with the Gates and others, right? Well, guess what? The Rockefellers now have a document, we've talked about it here, about food security and nationalizing our food. Well, why would they want to do this kind of thing? This is how you control people. But here's the Pope back in 2009 talking about the need to manage the global economy for food security. You think some of this stuff has already been planned and in the works? Remember, Archbishop Vigano told us in that September 2021 90-minute presentation that we've played clips of. They've already studied and planned a global cyber attack to attack the economy of the world and the individual in their daily work and life. Well, maybe this idea of a whole food crisis has been in play a long time as well. You'll remember, those of you that watch this broadcast regularly, back in March of 2020, I did a whole show, TV show, March of 2020, on the idea of the World Bank and the United Nations and all of these groups working together to want to count and track with biometrics, including the World Bank wanting to track everybody. That was back in March of 2020. The coronavirus was rolling out, folks, just rolling out. And I know that people watched that show in March of 2020 and thought, this guy is over the top. Well, everything I predicted in that show, they now realize is true. The biometrics, the nanotechnology, the patents that we have showed you screenshots of on television that they can use the vaccine to track you. And yet I was warning you back in March of 2020, before all that came to light, that we already knew these groups, from the World Bank to the United Nations to the Gates, others were wanting to track immigration and immigrants and to track who had been vaccinated and who had not. I told you all that before it was even in the press. And when I was talking about it in March of 2020, I myself thought, I don't know if people can handle what I'm telling them. But now we are in November of 2021. No one would refute that, even though we showed the screenshots then. It seemed just a little too sci-fi, right? Not so much now. Look how quickly we're moving. So was the idea of tracking us and all of this in play a long time ago? Yes, we know it. Was the idea of a pandemic in play a long time ago? We know it from 2010 lockstep. So the point is this. Is it in play to create a food crisis that can be exploited at the global level for global governance? Yes. And I think Pope Benedict partly told us that in his encyclical in 2009. Again, to manage the global economy, to bring about integral and timely disarmament, food security and peace, to guarantee the protection of the environment and to regulate migration. For all this, there is an urgent need for a true world political authority, end quote. Well, what's everybody talking about right now? Protecting the environment, right? The big global meeting where they all just flew 1,000 jets into that meeting. They all want to talk about climate change when they're all running around on their jets. But what else are we talking about? Regulating migration. What's happened? Last night we heard from Daniel Greenfield. We have well over 2 million illegals that have been let into the U.S. thanks to the Biden regime. Over 2 million that we know of. What about those we don't know? You see, again, you create a crisis and you exploit it. Oh, we've got a migration crisis. Well, of course you do. Of course we do, because they created it. Oh, we have a food crisis. Yes, because they created it. We have a pandemic crisis. Yes, because you created it. We have a dollar crisis. Yes, because you created it. We have a terrorism crisis. Yes, because you created it. You funded Osama bin Laden. You funded a lot of these terrorist groups. Some of them they funded during the Afghan-Russian conflict. America did. We helped to fund and create ISIS. And then we let the Taliban, which is tied closely to ISIS and Al-Qaeda, all these groups, put them in a bag, shake them up, dump them out. You couldn't tell the difference. Then we let them into the U.S. by creating a crisis at the airport in Kabul, where we now let the Taliban pick who comes inside the airport, who then gets on the airplanes, who comes to America. And voila, you got a terrorist crisis now, with a couple of them being arrested now for violence. And I saw last week a couple being arrested for potential national security threats. Every crisis we are facing, they, the globalists, the Marxists, those who hate America, want to bring down America, they have created every crisis. And look, in 2009, Pope Francis is not only talking about food security and protection of the environment, but he's talking about regulating migration. Well, you're going to have to create a crisis in migration to get people to say, we need a world political authority. And you just wait. You just wait until they pull the rug out from underneath us on a financial level. And some world leader steps forward, promising to solve it all. And I believe that will be the one world leader who will be demonically possessed before he's satanically possessed. They're telling us what they're going to do. Are you listening? So Pope Benedict said, there's an urgent need for a true world political authority. So you got Pope Benedict involved in community organizing. Well, he set it up for Pope Francis. Pope Francis just turned around, started re-quoting Pope Benedict in his encyclical on Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development. And of course, I've been writing and speaking about sustainable development since the early 90s. People thought it was conspiracy theory, but no one's saying that now that knows. They know Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 out of the Earth Summit in Rio 92 is all about global governance. But when I was talking about it in the early 90s and in the early 2000s, people couldn't comprehend it. Well, now they can. We'll be back with more as we understand the worldview and goals of the Jesuits. Who's in there producing, Logan or Reagan? Yeah, you know how I could tell? Because you're really fast on the PowerPoint. No, it's good. You're fast. Watch 1 hour for free at siegethemovie.com. Siege the movie. I. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. We're doing our series, this is our part five on understanding the worldview of the Jesuits, and what caused me to go back and redo this is because, again, Archbishop Vigano started talking about the Jesuits in his warning in September of this year. And so a lot of people are like, what are the Jesuits? What do they do? What's that all about? And remember we saw the Time Magazine piece, the cover piece by Time Magazine, April 1973, talking all about the Jesuits and what they were up to, right? So again, we've even had a former Jesuit, Malachi Martin, leave the Jesuit order and write books warning that it was going to be the Jesuits, the Marxists, the Freemasons working together to destroy the traditional Catholic Church and the traditional Protestant Church. Again, it's also very ironic that Malachi Martin is warning about the Freemasons. Archbishop Vigano warning about the Freemasons. And yet last week, what did we play? We played a video clip of child actor Kirk Cameron dragging a satanic Freemason statue replica onto a church platform and telling us that it holds the secret sauce to saving the country. Now, my friends, this kind of ignorance is unacceptable, because I'm pretty sure Kirk Cameron knows, because he and I, you know, used to communicate. Then he got upset when I tried warning him about some of these things. But hey, you know what? That's his problem. We did our best to warn him, and he stayed in my home and traveled and spoke for us for a few years. But he doesn't apparently want to listen. He has no excuse, because all I had to do was put into a search engine, and within 5 minutes, I found out that that statue of the Founding Fathers is not a Christian symbol. Within 5 minutes, I saw that it was built by the Freemasons, funded by the Freemasons. The cornerstone was laid by the Grand Master of the Freemasons, and those are not Christian symbols. And I've done entire radio shows, TV shows, and articles that anyone can find on the World Wide Web, including Kirk. And Kirk knows that I was warning about this. And yet now he is back in 2021. So from 2012 to now 2021, he's back to promoting this Freemason symbol, having a replica made of it, as we showed you the video last week, as he was at a church, I think, on October 24th, and having a replica of this statue to the founders put on a church platform and telling us it's a Christian symbol with the secret sauce of saving the country. No, it's not. It's a Freemason symbol. I have all the books from the late 1800s and early 1900s that showed which lodges were involved, who laid the cornerstone, the Grand Master, the funding, everything. They even admit that this is a universal deity pointing to the universal God, if you will. But the point I'm making is, isn't it ironic? We have Malachi Martin, a former Jesuit Catholic, warning us about the Freemasons. We have Archbishop Catholic Vigano warning us about the Freemasons. And then you got the Protestants dragging the Freemasons and their symbols right into the middle of the camp of the evangelical church, including child actor Kirk Cameron. And you think we got a problem? Yeah, I think we got a serious problem. And don't be shocked the number of people that will be embracing a religious world leader that shows up on the scene, promising to solve all these problems that were manufactured. So let's go to this, because we're talking about number four in the eight steps of the eight goals or focuses of the Jesuits. And number four is community organizing, political and community organizing. When we saw that Pope Benedict was community organizing for the United Nations and globalism. Now look at this. I've told you about this many times, but this is from a 2011 ChicagoMag.com article by Daniel Libet. He reported, quote, "It has now been more than 4 years since Barack Obama threw an arm around Gregory Galuzzo in Iowa and confided that whenever anyone asked how his presidential campaign had so quickly assembled its grassroots operation, he would credit Galuzzo's mentorship, a former Jesuit priest who'd been drawn to Chicago by the work of Saul Alinsky, the father of community organizing. Galuzzo had good reason to feel proud. He was indirectly responsible for bringing young Barack Obama to Chicago to be an organizer. Obama's subsequent election was, quote, like a son winning an office, says Galuzzo." Now, this is very, very fascinating because, again, here we have a guy that was following Saul the Red Alinsky. And what was he doing? Helping to mentor a young man who goes on to become president, and helped him, of course, organize for Iowa for the Iowa primary so that Obama wins, not Hillary. So really, a Jesuit priest helped put Barack Hussein Obama where he's at. Now, I've had a run-in with Gregory Galuzzo, if you will, at least a run-in with the organization he founded. I write about it on page 63 of my book, Marxianity, which, again, hundreds and hundreds of copies of Marxianity went out yesterday. So, again, we're filling them in the order they came in. So please be patient. I know new folks watching, you're like, I've never ordered from this guy before. I've never ordered from his organization. Am I going to get my product? Yes, you will. But we told you when you ordered, it was a pre-order. They would not come into the second printing, would not come into the last week of October. That happened. And we've had now over 2,000 orders, I think we're at, for the book. So it takes a while to fill that many orders every day, bringing several more hundred to the post office. So be patient. You will get your book. Remember, it was normally $20. The second printing, I made it available for $4.99. And by the time I pay people to pack this up and put it out, this is not about making money. I agreed to the second printing if we sold it for $4.99 because it's about education. It's about doing away with brainwashing, making people aware of who the enemies of our nation are. What is one of the first arts of war is to know your enemy, right? Know your enemy. Know their tactics. So again, you can get a copy of this 336-page book, Marxianity, and I hope you'll order quantities at wvwtv.com/store. You'll find a lot of other resources there as well. wvwtv.com/store. Now, on page 63 of this book, Marxianity, I have a chapter entitled The Interfaith Marxist Agenda. Listen to what I wrote. In chapter one, I briefly told you the story of how a series of Worldview Weekend conferences were shut down by a group known as the Gamaliel Network. See, they use biblical names. Go look up that in the Bible. But they use biblical names and acronyms. Because why? These are Marxist. These are Marxist. And who started this? Who took over this organization? Gregory Galuzzo, the Jesuit priest that helped Barack Obama get elected. He took over and remade this organization, the Gamaliel Network, which came against us in April of 2018, along with Antifa groups and Islamic groups. Yet before shutting us down is merely the tip of the iceberg. Yet shutting us down is merely the tip of the iceberg of what this organization is all about. What they did is they organized people to call the hotels and the conference centers about shutting us down. And many of the hotels reported to us they got threats and their management pulled our contracts. We only got one of our 5 cities pulled off, Des Moines, Iowa, the rest of them in April 2018, because of Marxist, Islamic, Antifa, Black Lives Matter types, we got shut down. Well, one of the groups we have the screenshots of promoting some of this trash was this Gamaliel Network that was led by this former Jesuit, Gregory Galuzzo. So I know all about this dude. But isn't it interesting they're going to use interfaith, ecumenicalism, just like the Jesuits. What did I tell you that one of the goals of the Jesuits? Ecumenicalism. What's another word for ecumenicalism? Interfaith. So now you have this Marxist Jesuit, Gregory Galuzzo, who was mentored by Saul the Red Alinsky, who, by the way, dedicated his first book in the 70s to who? Satan. Then he goes on to mentor who? Barack Obama. And that's how he becomes president. Now, again, this isn't me saying the guy's a former Jesuit. This is the ChicagoMag.com. So notice how this former Jesuit Marxist is using religion, just like Jesuits do. So he has interfaithism. So I wrote on page 63 of Marxianity, in 1986, Gregory Galuzzo became founding director of the Gamaliel Network. And along with being a Jesuit priest, Galuzzo was a devotee of Saul Alinsky. Galuzzo is also the man who enticed Barack Obama to move to Chicago and under his tutelage to become an Alinsky-style community organizer. And then I won't read to you what I just read to you on the air. But on March 22, 2014, an article entitled The Catholic Roots of Obama's Activism, the New York Times points out, this is page 64 of my book, Marxianity, Obama says, quote, he had to do a power analysis of each Catholic church, said one of his members at the time. One of his mentors at the time, Gregory Galuzzo, a former Jesuit priest. So even the New York Times notes he's a former Jesuit priest. And what do they call him? One of his mentors. Quote, Mr. Obama, Mr. Galluzzo said, quote, soon understood the chain of command and who had influence in individual parishes, end quote. So they put Barack Hussein Obama in to work in the social justice divisions of these Catholic churches in Chicago under the control, it looks like, the mentor, Gregory Galluzzo, the former Jesuit, again, according to New York Times, not Brandon House. Here is Investor's Business Daily. Alinsky's worldview was that mankind is divided into three parts, the haves, the have-nots, and the have a little want-mores. His purpose was to teach the have-nots how to take power and money away from the haves by creating mass organizations to seize power, and he admitted this means revolution. Of course, Obama changed the name from revolution to change. When he said change, he meant revolution, folks. Barack Hussein Obama told us he wanted revolution in America. He told us he was going for what? Systematic change. Complete and total systematic change. Revolution. And that's what he did. But who tutored him? A Jesuit. And what did the Jesuit do in 86? Took over an organization to use interfaith dialogue or ecumenicalism as cover with his Marxism. And don't I know it well, because we were the victims of their campaign against our five cities in April of 2018. Going back to the slides. James Atkin Wiley on the Jesuits using communism for revolution, compliance, and punishment. Quote, if these governments will return to their obedience to the See of Rome, the Jesuits will exert themselves to the utmost to extinguish communism and make all safe and stable around the thrones which it menaces with overthrow, end quote. In other words, this gentleman writing this book so many years ago, 1881, James Atkin Wiley, is saying that the Jesuits will use communism to threaten nations. And if the nations will comply to come under the control of the Jesuits, then they'll call off the dogs of communism. For how many years have I told you I believe that Marxist and Islamist are the junkyard dogs to destroy the West? I've told you that for years, haven't I? The Marxist and the Islamist are the junkyard dogs to destroy the West, to de-Christianize the West. And apparently one of the groups controlling the junkyard dogs are not just the generic globalist, if you will, because that means a lot of groups and a lot of people in that term globalist. But it would specifically, in one case, be the Jesuits, who are, in fact, as we know, globalist. They want world dominion. They even have, the logo, the eagle, a cross in one talent, the world in the other, in Latin, of the two, one. So they're globalist. They have world dominion. And what are they? Who are they using to help destroy the West, as well as other nations? They're using the communists, the Marxists. And they say, according to this 1881 book by James Atkin Wiley, that the Jesuits will use the Marxists, the communists, to destroy nations. But if they will comply with the Jesuits, they'll call off the dogs. Come back, I'm going to give you a little bit more. And then we're going to open the phone lines as we start to... And what's very ironic, obviously JFK had his issues, right? Some morality issues. I was talking to a friend of mine, former FBI agent today, and we were talking about the anti-communist speeches of JFK. Now, JFK was a Catholic. Look how anti-communist he was. I bet you the Jesuits did not like him. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. And again, if you're like, wow, this is so much history and information, folks, this is just any of the new folks who I'm speaking to, the folks that are our regular alumni know this. But if you're like, wow, I really like how this guy gets into the history, explains it, breaks it down, tries to make it simple for everybody, regardless of how long they've been aware of this information, and you say, where is more of this? Oh, well, I have something called the Situation Room. And you can go to that. It's situationroom.net. You can join at the one-year rate of $99 a month. $99.99 a month. Sorry. $9.99 a month. Or $99 a year. Then we have a two-year rate and a three-year rate. And I have thousands, literally thousands of radio shows just like this. Hundreds and hundreds of TV shows. Documentaries, ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts. So much is there for you for those who really want to be a student. Just go to situationroom.net if you'd like to join. Situationroom.net. Next week, we'll endeavor to get a lot of our Ozarks conferences DVDs that we filmed. They're done. They're post-edited live in at the event. We brought a switcher and we're post-editing live. We just got to take the time to load them up now. So our goal next week is to get all those loaded into the Situation Room. And again, those will be, there's a lot of content that we have that we never let out to the public. And those talks from our Ozarks conference is a perfect example. We'll probably play 10 minutes here and there for you guys to see what it's like. But the full presentations of General Flynn, Andy Woods, Mike Lindell, Kevin Freeman, all that will be in the Situation Room under our conference DVDs. So situationroom.net if you want more information. Let's go back to the slide. Here's James Aitken Wiley on the Jesuits using communism for revolution compliance and punishment. He goes on to say, but if these governments shall maintain their present attitude to the Vatican, if they persist in declining the concordats, these would be the agreements what they would sign, like treaties or agreements, and canon law of Rome, they will be left to reckon with the communists as best they may. Help from the papal see, they shall have none. Nay, the Jesuits, in the end of the day, will make common cause with communism and will use this new sprung force, end quote. Now, this is, again, from 1881. What's so fascinating is you have a former Jesuit, as we've been telling you, Malachi Martin, who I think died in 1999, started writing these books, I think, in the 70s or somewhere around there, telling you the same thing as a former Jesuit. Then you, again, we have Archbishop Vigano last month, or in September of this year, telling us, look out for the Marxists, look out for the Masons, look out for the Jesuits. So it's getting harder for people to say, oh, this is all conspiracy, when we have people inside the Church of Rome themselves saying the Jesuits are a bad deal. Well, here's what this guy was writing back in 1881. He goes on to say, to wreak their vengeance. Let me go back and get the full quote here. Nay, the Jesuits in the end of the day will make common cause with communism and use this new sprung force to wreak their vengeance on those governments which have lifted up the heel against their liege lord and ostentatiously refuse to return to their obedience to a ruler who claims to be the moral and political sovereign of all Christendom, the king of all its kings. They are working all around Europe to bring on confusion, not doubting for a moment that out of this chaos will emerge their long-cherished dream of a universal Catholic monarchy. So again, remember, who was funding, fueling a lot of this? As he warned, the Jesuits. The Jesuits. And, of course, that was 1881, but we know in 1962 to 65, the Jesuits were largely the ones behind the Vatican Council II that allowed for this ecumenicalism and interfaith dialogue so religions can merge to the Hegelian dialectic, opposites colliding and then synthesizing and coming together. And of course, this is what's going to help create the one world religious system, this syncretism of religions. And don't forget, as I've told you in previous programs, the father of the New Age is who? A Jesuit priest by the name of a Jesuit priest by the name of Teilhard de Chardin. Luigi Tabernelli was the Jesuit priest that coined the phrase social justice. The father of the New Age movement was a Jesuit priest by the name of Teilhard de Chardin. So we see the influence, right? Again and again, to merge opposites and create a one world religious system. And this is why many of your traditional Catholics, your Orthodox Catholics, are having a fit because they see that this is occultism being brought in to the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church. And this, of course, is why people like me are having a fit that this same thing is going on in the Protestant Church, right? Well, of course it's going on. As Hinduism, Buddhism, didn't Archbishop Vigano warn about Buddhism? Yeah, Archbishop Vigano warned about Buddhism and the influence of Buddhism, didn't he? New Age thinking, pantheism, all is God, pantheism. That's New Age thinking, all is God. He warned about Buddhism. You know what's ironic? He also warned, as we know, about the Freemasons. But who does Albert Pike, one of the leading authorities of the Freemasons, say was one of the first teachers of Freemasonry? Buddha. You see how it all comes together? It's a puzzle piece. It's a puzzle piece, and it clearly comes together. Now, what's a fifth area before we open the phone lines? A fifth area that the Jesuits want to go after for world domination, education. Here again, a must read. The Jesuits, their moral maxims and plots against kings, nations, and churches, 1881, James Aitken Wiley. He writes, they had a monopoly in the education of Europe for over 200 years, and numbered the famous and infamous in their worldwide alumni. Voltaire, Louis Bonnell, Fidel Castro, and Alfred Hitchcock included. Now, this is not this guy, James Aitken, writing in 1881. This is just me recommending that book. This is coming from Malachi Martin. This is coming from the New York Times bestseller and the former Jesuit himself, Malachi Martin. And what is he saying? Here are some of the folks the Jesuits trained. They had a monopoly in the education of Europe. What's point five? We're talking about education, the Jesuits using education. And here is the former Jesuit himself saying they had a monopoly in the education of Europe for over 200 years and numbered the famous and infamous in their worldwide alumni, Voltaire, Louis Bonnell, Fidel Castro, and Alfred Hitchcock included. Did you guys know that Fidel Castro loved to brag about his Jesuit education? And what did you end up with? What did you end up with there in Cuba? Marxism by a Jesuit. And what is really one of the few churches that's allowed to exist there? The Jesuit Church. The Jesuit Church, right? James Aitken Wiley goes on to say, the plan pursued by the Jesuits was the following. Their best men they sent to the university seats and colleges. They established small detachments of their order in the chief cities. And there they opened seminaries, pretentious seminaries. The rest they distributed as schoolmasters over the country districts. So they're big into penetrating with their disciples as educators. And I am convinced to this day that many, many people would be shocked the number of Jesuit trained that have penetrated the Protestant world. They seem to be seminary teachers in the Protestant world, but if they're not Jesuit trained, they are Jesuit mentored. You see, the term Jesuit often gets thrown around, the Jesuits. And people assume, oh, that must be someone who actually went through the seminaries, the Jesuit seminaries, and they wore a collar and they were trained, right? And that would definitely be Jesuits. But the term Jesuits gets thrown around loosely, and it can also mean people who never went through that kind of Jesuit seminary training, but were themselves discipled or mentored by a Jesuit. Barack Hussein Obama would be a perfect example. He's not a Jesuit. He didn't go through Jesuit training, but he was mentored by one. Even the New York Times tells us that. Well, there are many, I believe, that have penetrated not only media and education and politics, but religion and the Protestant world, who themselves were never officially Jesuits, but they're Jesuitical in that they have been mentored and trained and are carrying the water for the Jesuits. And many of them have penetrated some of our biggest Protestant seminaries and education centers in America. And many of them are the ones pushing and slobbering all over Marxist Jesuit Pope Francis. They professed a boundless zeal for education and gave themselves out as experts in the art. Their aim was to draw the youth and especially the sons of Protestants. There we go. 1881. And especially the sons of Protestants into their schools. In this, they succeeded. They took care to have a few brilliant examples of their teaching ready for display. They mean no harm, the Jesuits said, by teaching their Protestant pupils these innocent arts. Perhaps so, but in 20 years, the sons had forsaken the faith of their fathers, and a new race of Romanists had risen up in the German fatherland. Notice what he says. It's a new race of Romanists. A new race of Romanists. It's a new Rome. It's a new religious system. Yes, the underpinnings of Catholicism is there, but they have perverted the traditional Catholicism with the Jesuits, which is why, again, men, even though, I don't agree with a lot of Catholic theology and doctrine at all, but that's why your more Orthodox or considered more conservative Catholics are having a fit, because they know that this is a new Rome, that this is a new religious system that's been structured by the Jesuits, and they don't like it. But they've also penetrated the Protestant world, and that is a perfect example. Number six, we'll pick up on next week, is the press. The press. How the Jesuits have penetrated the press. But now I want your calls, your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Again, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. Now, while you're getting on board for those questions or comments that we're going to go to, I want to remind you about our event coming up November 11th, our town hall meeting with the four retired FBI agents. These are very interesting men. I was talking to one of them today, and I said, hey, tell me about Bob Hansen, the FBI guy that ended up having worked for so many years for the Russians and got arrested. And he ended up having a intriguing story to tell me about running into him one day. These guys are a part of history, these four guys. They are coming to us, to the Memphis, Tennessee area, to film 4 one-hour town hall meetings. One of them was involved in the investigation of the USS Cole bombing. One of them was involved in signing the search warrant and was there the day that the Unabomber was arrested. Again, these guys are witnesses to history on the front row. And they were all educated as staunch anti-communists by the FBI. Educated as staunch anti-communist. And one of them used to, starting out in his when he was 21 in the FBI, used to lead the public tours. And I was on those public tours starting when I was about 4 years old through my teenage years, at least I was about 12 or 13, living in the D.C. area for that time. And they used to tell you on the public tour about the dangers of communism. Well, these four guys are coming to Memphis, Tennessee area to hold the town hall meeting, or film 4 one-hour town hall meetings on November 11th, starting at 1 p.m. Central to 6 p.m., with a 15-minute break in between each one-hour filming. You can get the tickets at www.tvfilming.eventbrite.com. That's www.tvfilming.eventbrite, and Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com. They're only $2.70. Why? So we can make sure that's legitimate people showing up. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. 1-800-347-9829. Dick in Maryland. I'm glad you called in today, Dick. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, Brandon, a couple things on the Jesuits and their spread through education. New York Times has written several articles about charities investing in model high schools around the country based on a Jesuit model. Linda and Bill Gates gave $15 million to further the network of Jesuit model high schools across the country. So that's a connection with Gates.
Hey,
and
can
the
you
Jesuits.
Send me that so I can show it on the screen next week?
Yeah, I can send you that.
Thank
I've
you.
Got the article. But real quick, the former governor of New York, former governor of Maryland, current governor of California are all Jesuit trained. One of them is Martin O'Malley, who was a candidate for president.
Yes.
Could have been the president. So you've got these people embedding their social justice into the minds of the people that lead many corporations in many parts of government.
And, of course, again, Dick, as we said today, the Jesuits mentored Barack Hussein Obama.
And Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, and Anthony Fauci. Yeah. And you know, a lot of people never paid attention to this, and when you brought it up, they roll their eyes. But, I mean, how can you roll your eyes at what is documented? Even the New York Times is telling us this is true.
And we've got articles from Jesuit universities praising Fauci. You've got medical students at Fordham University pledging that they want to be the next Dr. Fauci.
Good grief. Well, Dick, as always, I appreciate your calling in.
Okay. Thank you for all the good work you do.
You too, Dick. Thank you. Let's go to 1-800-347-9829. I've got another line open, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. George in Illinois. George, thanks for calling in, George.
Yes, I was going to ask you a question. What really is the difference between Catholicism or Catholic and Jew?
And between what now? I'm sorry. Between what?
What's the difference between Catholicism and Jesuit? Is it kind of like terrorists in the cockpit?
Oh, what would be the difference between the Jesuits and traditional Catholicism?
Yeah, well, just an idea.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the call. I'll let you listen offline. Well, there would be a couple of them, number one. Again, we've already looked at the fact that they are big into social justice, socialism, liberation theology. Traditional Catholicism, or at least many traditional Catholics, were not for Marxism. We've already pointed to the first Catholic president in America, John F. Kennedy. And if you listen to some of his speeches on communism, we know how he felt about communism, right? So many of your more traditional Catholics were staunch communists, and warned about it. We have Bella Dodd, a former Marxist, who comes out warning about it, penetrating the Catholic Church. We have Malachi Martin, a former Jesuit, who comes out warning about it. We have Archbishop Vigano. I mean, we can go down the line, and you actually will find that many of the leading anti-communists who are writing books, many of them were Catholics. So that right there distinguishes your more traditional Orthodox Catholicism from the Jesuits. One of them is also mysticism. The Jesuits brought a lot of this mysticism in as well. We also see that they brought in the ecumenicalism with the Vatican II and lowering the walls of the Catholic Church and pushing the Catholic Church into dialogue and working with other religions. Whereas before Vatican Council II, there was a lot of separation. Okay, so I could just keep going down the line, you know, as to some of these differences between the. Also, I think it was, I have to go double check, but I think it was the Jesuits that brought in this idea of the infallibility of the Pope. But I need to go double check that one. Let's go to line two, Annan. Annan, thank you for calling in today. Line two.
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Oh, that's what that means. Annan means anonymous. All right. Good to know the abbreviations there.
I'm sorry, I don't want to give you my name, but that's okay. You talking about books that you're selling for $4.99 or something like that?
Yes, Mark Cannon.
You want to get rid of them? Well, I can't call in and get one because all I have is just a telephone. You don't give me a telephone number. You say, call my email or internet or something like that, and I can't call.
Well, and at $4.99, the issue is we don't have the staff to take the calls, to take those orders, and then they have to process everything by hand at that point and write out labels by hand at that point. And at that point, it becomes so overwhelming. So let me ask you this. Do you have a friend that can go online and order it for you?
No, I don't.
All right.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I tell you what I'm going to do because you sound like a super nice guy, and despite what some people may think, I am a pushover. So I'm going to have them get your name and address, and I'm going to send you a free copy. Don't worry about buying it. I'll have my wife put a free copy in the mail to you. Okay.
Well, I like a copy of your book, and I like some other things that once in a while get offered. I call other ministries and so forth like that and buy their books and so forth, but they give a telephone number.
Yep. And
you
we
call
just
that,
can't.
And you
we
give them like your card.
Yep.
And they take it off your debit card.
Yeah. And we're just so swamped, we just don't have the staff to process all that, write out labels by hand, do all that. But you hold the line. They'll get your name and your number, and we'll just send you a complimentary copy. All right. Let's go to Ken. And by the way, we had a caller call in last week who thanked us and how the show has helped them. And we have a free packet of stuff going out to her as well as a Bible because she did not have a Bible. So if she's listening, your stuff's on the way too because I inquired about it the other day as to where that was if people followed through on that. So I do make notes to these folks and make sure they follow up on what I'm promising. Ken in Arkansas. Ken, thank you for calling in, Ken.
Yeah, hey, Brandon.
Yes.
I've heard you all this week talk about the Jesuits. How come you haven't revealed that Donald John Trump is also Jesuit trained from Fordham University?
Now, that one I didn't know. I did not realize that. What more do you know about it other than he went to that university? Is that what you know?
He is Jesuit trained through Fordham University through his education, as well as Mike Pence was also Jesuit.
Now, Pence I knew about.
Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, I knew about Fauci. I knew about Pence, but I guess I never really connected the dots on Trump. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting. And I keep waiting for you to bring that up.
But, well, I'm glad you called in. What do you make of it? What do you make of it? Do you think that was just a school he went to, or you think there's something more to it?
No, anytime you attend a Jesuit training, you're considered what's called a Jesuit coadjutor, which means you are complicit with the Jesuit teachings, trained in spiritual Jesuit formation.
Do you think he at any time changed his thinking on this the same way Malachi Martin did?
I highly doubt it.
All
because
right.
The Catholic Church has made the claim that if they have a child from age seven, from birth to age seven, that they'll always be a Catholic.
All right, Ken, thank you. Ken from Arkansas checking in. See, that's the great thing opening phone lines up. You get all points of view across here. Although I tend to say if Trump was following the Jesuit order, he sure did an awful lot to destroy globalism. Yeah, didn't he? That's why they hated him so much. All right, thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.